morning again.
Happy Sabbath to all of you.
So pleased and happy, joyful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, did you get the video? The kid's story? Did you get it? Yes? Well, if you didn't, then I'm going to preach. Because if you did, guess what? That's what we're preaching about today. But I know a lot of you want to hear, you know, the Word of God. There's a lot of you over in Zoom, YouTube, that you want to hear the Word of God. And I think that's, I want to hear the Word of God. Even though I'm presenting the message, but at the end of the day, guess what? The message is for me. Okay, I preach to myself, believe it or not. Because we all need to learn, amen? And God speak, you know, to us, especially when we open the Word of God. Let's read again Hebrews chapter 20, verse 25. Thank you, Carlos. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Not giving up meeting together. Is that what your Bible said? Some versions will say like Carlos, he wrote like not forsaking. All right? As some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all of the more as you see the day approaching. Our Heavenly Father, we want to ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, Lord, to give us peace, comfort, understanding. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Now, if I were to ask you, why do we meet? Why do we come together? What is the reason? You know, especially these days where we're living right now, you know, a lot of people say, why do I have to go to church? Why do I have to gather with people when I could just relax, be at home? And forgive me, for some of you that listen, just hear the whole message, okay? So don't hear my first words. For those of you that are at home right now, relax. Some of you may be in bed right now. Some of you might be in the living room, in the sofa, in the comfort. Some of you might be maybe, you know, in the sun, right? Outside the porch, backyard, okay? But just hear the whole message. I'm not just talking against whatever you're doing. No, that's not the point. But these days, right, a lot of people feel like that. A lot of people feel, well, you know what, I don't need to go to church any longer. I could just get up, get my phone, go to YouTube, and there it is. I could hear the message, right? That's the new norm. Have you heard the term? The new normality, right? That's what everybody says. For some people, you know, it's okay. For some people, it's fine. It's not a problem. It's so good, right? As a matter of fact, you know, who wants to get up early, and especially on a Saturday, right? When you have the whole week working and you're tired and this and that. And a lot of people, you know, like it now. They're enjoying it. But there are some that, you know, they said, well, you know, this is not a normality. You know, and it's hard, you know, for, I don't know if it has been hard for you. It's been, what, like a year plus? It was hard for me. And it's hard for people to adjust. And the more you complain, get what? Guess what? The worse it's going to get. So don't complain. Do your part. Why do I say this? Well, you know, a lot of people just like to complain because they love to complain. Because if you think about it, What's the new normality? Everybody, you know, ooh, they're afraid, right? When they hear the word, oh, the new normality. Oh, no, no, no. I won't be able to do the same things that I was accustomed to, the same things that I used to do. And they get like, oh, some get stress, some panic. But guess what? You have forgotten about something that in your life, every instance in your life, you had already experienced a new normality. Did you know that? Like, for instance, when you were born, right? When you were like a toddler, when you were a baby. See, babies get used to, you know, parents doing everything for them. Kids get used to parents being their slave, right? Because they get everything, they want everything, you know, mom, dad gives everything to them. Yes or no? They don't need to do nothing. As a matter of fact, you know, okay, what? I mean, how good does it feel, right? You just, as a baby, relax there and they bring you food, they bring you everything. All you have to do is cry, right? But what happened when you're not a baby anymore? What happened when you're not a toddler? A new normality, yes or no? Something new comes because you won't be able to get that any longer. Then mom and dad is going to go get it. You pick that up. You clean that up. You fix the room, right? Oh, that's a new normality. And then school comes, right? Now kids, they have to go to school, elementary school. And it's a new normality because, you know, like a new environment. You know, you have to meet more people, more children and things like that. And after elementary school, you go to middle school, another new normality. Because now you're not going to deal, you're going to deal with other, you know, students that are bigger. And then high school comes, another new normality. And then a boyfriend, and then a girlfriend comes, right? Another new normality. And then a husband, right? Marriage come. Another new normality. And then children comes. And you see? So don't complain. You already know what a new normality is all about. But as Christians, yes, there are new things that come along the way, right? Things that you have to adjust yourself. Things that you have to change. But as Christians, one thing that never change is your obedience to the Lord. You want me to repeat that again? There is no new normality when it comes to your obedience to the Lord. Your obedience to the Lord never change. It's the same yesterday, today, and will be the same when? Tomorrow. No matter what changes around me. No matter if I have to move to another state. No matter if I have to move to another country. No matter if I have to adjust or I have to change a new job. Your obedience to God do not change. How many of you say amen to that? That doesn't change. Why? Because, well, the first thing is God never changed. Yes or no? Have God changed? Since you met him, has he changed? Had God changed his promises? Had God changed his word? Has God changed his holy Bible? See? That never change. God never change. Not giving up, meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So if the word of God said, because there's a benefit, and we will read it through the Bible, what's the benefits to coming together? And by the way, for those that are in Zoom and you too, guess what? You have come together with us. Amen? Regardless where you are, you still have come together with us. You are here over the screen. You're hearing the word of God. You praising the Lord. You are learning. You are participating. So you still congregating. So don't feel bad. So you still meeting together with us. Now, attending or coming together in different various forms, okay, because we already mentioned, you could come here physically, you could come together, you know, virtually. Of course, you know, it differs, right? It's not the same experience. But we're still together. But you know that coming together as sons and daughters of God, coming together to a worship service, to a fellowship, it gives you, or it indicates actually, the spiritual health of a Christian. So coming together indicates your spiritual health as a Christian. Now, failure of congregating or coming together is a symptom of a spiritual concern. And I'm going to explain why. And I'm going to let the Word of God explain. So, the question, why do we meet? Why do we come together? Well, the first thing that we find in the Word of God in the New Testament, Acts 2:42, is that this was actually the practice of the first Christians. Amen? This was the first practice. Look at what it says, Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and to what? Prayer. So what was their purpose to come together? Huh? To devote themselves in what? In the teaching. What teachings? Of course, the Bible said the teaching of the apostles. But what were the apostles teaching? The word of what? The word of God, right? They devoted themselves. They come together and they devoted themselves in the teachings, in the reading of the word of God. Teaching, fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and into what? Prayers. So they met, right? To be in communion with one another. They come together to learn. Now, there is a reason why, specific, that we come together. And the biggest benefit is that when we meet or we come together, we find edification. How many of you say amen to that? How do I know that? Did I just invent that word? Do you understand what that means? Edification? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Look at what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, and that's a question, right? Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for what? For what? For edification. Isn't that what we do when we come together to the house of the Lord? Someone comes here and participate and prays. Yes or no? Someone comes here and read a psalm. Yes or no? Someone comes up here and teach the lesson. Yes or no? Yeah? So isn't that what he said? And the purpose and the reason why we do this is for what? For edification. Now, some people said, oh no, someone just invented to go to church, you know? Someone just invented, you know, to do all the program or whatever. It's here. It's in the Bible. And it's one thing that we know for a fact is that we cannot change that. Amen? We cannot change it. Because that is for edification. That's for your own benefit. That's for our own benefit. It is for our blessing. But there's another thing. Being together is good and pleasant. How many of you say amen? Huh, some of you might say, no way. How can I come together with people that I don't even like? How can that be good? How can that be pleasant? Well, let's the Bible. Let's God answer that. Right? Look at what Psalms, you know, David, King David says, Psalms 133 verse 1. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. Wow. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity. See, it's good, it's pleasant when you are obedient to God, right? And when you are obedient to God, you don't supposed to dislike people. Because God's instructions in the Bible is, and even, you know, the commandments are, that we are to love one another. Yes or no? We are to love one another. So that means, and listen, you know, the Bible even go beyond, because Jesus even go beyond, because Jesus says, a new commandment I'll give you, right? To love your neighbors as you love yourself. But he also included, and he said, and you are to love your enemies. I don't say it. The Bible says it. So being together is good and pleasant when you love the Lord. Amen? When you are obedient to the Lord. By congregating, we provoke ourselves to love and to do good works. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 and 24. Look at what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, 24. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So when we come together, what do? Huh? We stir up love and good works. Our meetings with Christ in heaven, my brothers and sisters, believe it or not, will depend a lot on our meeting with Christ here on earth. It will depend. When we come together, the most important thing is that we come together with the Lord. Amen? We come to meet the Lord. We come to seek the Lord. We come to be together with the Lord because God is among us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So, in other words, when we come together, when we come to church, when we congregate, what we actually doing? We meeting with who? With God. We're coming together with the Lord. And that should be the most essential, the most important thing to do. If we refuse to have to be together on this earth, my brothers and sisters, the less we'll have, actually, the less actually inspiration, or the less will we'll have to be together in heaven, or to be together with God in heaven. Because the Bible tells us that in heaven, 24/7, we will be together with who? With who? With the Lord. With God. With Jesus. If not, just read chapter 14 of the book of John. If you read it, specific, right? The first verses, what he says, when Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, he promised something to the disciples. Yes or no? He said that he was going to prepare what? A place. A place for them. And then he said that when he prepared that place, what he was going to do? He was going to come back. And then he said, when he come back, what he was going to do? He is actually going to take all of those that want to be with him, to take them where? To that place that he had prepared for them. And to be with them for how long? Forever. See, there is a benefit for us to come together. The joy of coming together, my brothers and sisters, we have to express it. Just like David did, Psalms 122, verse 1. He said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How many of you say the same thing? How many of you, when Friday comes, how many of you said, wow, I rejoice because the Sabbath is coming. And I rejoice because I'm going to come together with my brothers and sisters that I love. But I rejoice because I'm coming to meet the Lord. I'm coming to be with the Lord. I'm coming to his house. So when we go to the meeting at the house of God, to the church, to the house church, to the park church, because you learned something about in the video, right? That the church is not this building. The church is who? It's you. It's people. As a matter of fact, when Jesus, right, when Jesus was on earth and he has his own small group, his own church, they will gather, even, like, remember even Jesus preaching in a mountain, yes or no? And that was what? The people that was there was what? The church. The mountain was not the church. Because the Bible teaches us that we are the church. The people are the church. This building is worthless if there is not people like you. Churches are nothing. The building are nothing if they're empty. So we are the church. But the question is, when we come to the meeting, when we come to congregate, when we come to fellowship with one another, when we come to meet the Lord, when we come to be together with the Lord and in unity with my brothers and sisters, how should we present ourselves? How should I present myself? How? Well, look at what the Bible says. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5. Let's see what it says. Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verse 1. Look at what it says. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. So how do I present myself to the meeting, to the church, to the house of the Lord? How? Prudently. And draw near to hear, right? So, what does walk prudently means? In other versions, it says like guard yourselves, right? That's what it said in some of your Bible versions that you might have. It will probably said guard your steps. So how, what is it to guard your steps? That means to be what? Careful. Okay? Or be wise in handling practical matters. Exercising good judgment. Yes? Or common sense. When you go to visit someone, how do you present yourself? When you go to work, how do you prepare yourself to go to work? Common sense, right? Common sense. And for those that are YouTube, Zoom, that goes for you as well. Even though you're there, you have to present yourself the same way. You have to present yourself the same way. And I'm not saying it. The Bible is saying so. And then he says, draw near. So of course, when we're here at the house of the Lord, it makes a big difference because you know what? I have to take a shower. I have to take a bath. I have to prepare myself. I have to prepare my best clothes because I have to come to the house of the Lord. I present myself to God. But when you're at the house, you do the same thing. Because the word also says, draw near to hear. You know, it's very difficult. I don't know about you, but it's very difficult when you are at home and when you want to come together in a church service because anything will distract you. Anything. If you're in bed, if you're still in pajamas, your sleep will distract you. Because then you will be able to hear. You will get tired. Yes or no? If you're in the living room, the TV is there, right? Like you're constantly fighting between, okay, do I hear this or watch the TV or this and that? But the Bible said that you have to be prudently. You have to guard your steps. You have to prepare yourself. When you come together in service, no matter where you are, you have to guard your steps. And you have to do what you're supposed to do. By gathering ourselves, we are going to set a good example. How many of you say amen to that? If you are parents, the Bible said, train your child. Yes or no? And how are you going to train them? By telling them what they need to do? No, you need to set an example. Just how Jesus set an example for us. Just how the apostle set an example for us. Just how the first Christians that we find in the Bible, in the book of Acts, set an example for us. We need to also set an example for others. Amen? And if you are a parent, well, guess what? You don't set an example by telling your child what to do. You show them how to do it. You show them how to do it. That's the same way we had the scripture. That's the same way we had the Bible. The Bible teaches us. The Bible show us how we do it. Not just tell us. You find that in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. You know, many of our families and friends that are not Christians Right? How many of you have families, relatives that are not Christian? And through our faithfulness and responsibilities, right? In our service, in our devotion, in our way we conduct ourselves, we are what? Being an example to them. We are being an example to them. You know, a lot of people, you know, fight with this. A lot of people struggle with this. Even Christians struggle with this. Remember, my faith cannot be compromised by no matter what circumstance. My faith cannot be compromised, not even by my mom, my dad, or anybody. My faith cannot be compromised. Why? Because I stated at the beginning that God never changes. My obedience to God should never change. My devotion to God should never change. My faithfulness to God should never change. My responsibility to God should never change. And you could read even, you know, the commandments. You will see that those commandments don't change. People change. Point of view change. Mentality change. You change. I change. But God never change. Amen? And my obedience to God should never, 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 ever change. You know, when even when we go to other places, you know, sometimes we go on vacation, right? Sometimes we visit other places. Sometimes we visit other families. Or sometimes family visit with us. That should never change. My faith to the Lord should never change. Look at what Paul says on Romans chapter 15, verse 24. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. See what Paul basically saying here, that even Paul was from where? But he said, I'm going to visit you in Spain, but I want to enjoy, I want to rejoice visiting you and coming together with you. So let's not forget our obedience to God. Let's not forget our faithfulness to the Lord, even when we go visit another country, even when we go visit another state. Our obedience to God should remain what? The same. If I have to come together in the house of the Lord, if I have to come together to worship and to service the Lord, well, guess what? Everywhere you go, you could do the same. Amen? You could do the same. You know, I have visited many countries. I have visited many places. And everywhere I go, I found that there are churches everywhere. Amen? And just because I'm on vacation, just because I'm here doing this on my business or whatever, my obedience and my faithfulness to God should never change. I could still look for a place wherever I'm going, just like Paul did, and gather and be obedient and be faithful to God. Amen? If someone, a family, someone that you know that you haven't seen for a while comes to town and tells you, hey, I'm going to be in town. I want to meet you there or whatever, right? Oh, you'll be what? Excited, yes or no? And you don't want to miss that appointment. But God is telling you, I have an appointment with you once a week for you to come and to come together with your friends, with your family, with your brothers, with your sisters in God. Do you miss that appointment? Something that we need to value, to treasure, and to think about. So
So we must accept our responsibilities as Christians to always attend meetings, to always come together with our brothers and sisters to meet the Lord, because it is the only place that we will learn how to become Christians and how to run this race. Amen? Because it is at the gathering place, it is at these meetings where believers can love each other. Amen? You could look at it in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It is at the church, it is at this meeting, it is at this gathering that we can come and exhort each other. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It is when we come together, when we consider each other to stimulate, to love, and to do good works. Hebrews 10, 24. It is when we fellowship, when we serve each other. And we only could do that when we come together, when we meet with one another, when we fellowship with one another. It is when we meet, when we congregate, where we instruct and correct each other. Romans chapter 15, verse 14. It is at the gathering place where we honor, each other. Romans 12, 10. It is at this place where we can be kind and merciful to each other. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. But most importantly, and do not forget that it is here that you meet with the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 10, 25, and I end again with that opening scripture. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the manner of some, but exhorting in one another, in so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that will be another sermon. But the day is approaching, my brothers and sisters, where you won't be able, or we won't be able to meet together, believe it or not. We won't have that opportunity on earth. The day is approaching. But also, the day is approaching where, if we make it to heaven, the day is approaching that we will be together with Jesus forever. And I don't know about you, but at least the time that I have here on earth to enjoy being together with you, to enjoy to fellowship with you, to enjoy learning from you, to enjoy your love for me, to enjoy your respect and honor for me, to enjoy working with you, to enjoy serving with you, I will enjoy it. And I will be pleased. And I hope, and my prayer is, that you will feel the same. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for your message. Thank you, Father, because you don't change. Thank you, Lord, because your words never change. Thank you, Lord, because your promises never change. Father, we ask that you give us the desire to continue meeting with one another, to continue congregating, to continue working with one another, to continue serving one another, to continue loving one another, but to continue, Lord, meeting with you in the house of prayer. Father, I ask for you to forgive our sins. I ask, Lord, that you put joy in our hearts, that you put, Father, common sense in our minds through the power of the Holy Spirit, and to be able to enjoy what we have while we have it. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen.